Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the June 2 review episode.
That's right. No PMQs, just June. And the holdovers, which I saw yesterday.
Alone?
Yeah. You keep saying that like it's a bad thing.
I think it's unsettling.
Why? Do you watch a film by yourself in your house?
I have done on occasion, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you watch films by yourself in public?
Yes, evidently. Mm. Try it sometime.
I've done it once, mm-hmm. And I went to go see Killers of the Scorsese film. Fuck.
Flower film.
The flower film. And after about hour three, I was like, why am I here?
Really? I did the exact same thing. I had a very nice, relaxing time.
Same film?
Exact same film.
Relaxing?
To watch a film by yourself? Yeah. That film, not terribly relaxing. I didn't love the film, to be honest with you.
I didn't like that one very much, to be honest with you.
No.
You two are taking the piss.
We have turned it into... You said at the beginning this is a movie review podcast, and we have just slipped into a movie.
How am I taking the piss? I said this is going to be a June 2 review podcast.
You said this had to be tight today. You promised me politics.
We'll do five minutes. Pinkies. What do you think of June 2, Ava?
It's not a film for me.
Why not?
Why?
I'm not into fantasy.
Good thing it's sci-fi, then.
I like shit real and depressing.
What's your favourite film?
Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Cool.
What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there was anything wrong with that.
No, you did. Come on.
I didn't say anything.
You said cool.
Yeah.
With a tone.
I meant that's really cool for you.
Okay, thank you. Right.
What did you think of June 2, Ed?
Amazing.
For fuck's sake.
Okay, I'm actually going to reject the bit. Okay. Shall we roll the clip?
Is this a mutiny?
They're going to be angry.
I like baiting them.
But eventually, there's only so much torment you can do until it's like you have like a caged lion and you keep whacking it on the nose and then it's going to kill you.
Our audience is not a caged lion.
You're taking that, audience.
Just roll the fucking clip.
Audience, cancel Ollie.
The thing is, they... The clip doesn't get rolled until I say the word, so you guys can say
Try it
all you want.
Roll clip.
Roll the clip.
See, it's not playing.
We'll see what happens, John.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we will see what happens. Because I know who sat in that fucking gallery. We will see what happens.
A different clip rules for Ava and I say, not that one!
June 2 starts playing. Roll the clip.
Mr. Speaker, the man bankrolling the Prime Minister also said that the member for Hackney North should be shot. How low would he have to sink? What racist, woman-hating threat of violence would he have to make before the Prime Minister plucked up the courage to hand back the £10 million that he's taken from him?
Ava, what did Keir Starmer start with in Prime Minister's questions today?
It was the news that a Conservative donor that has given £10 million to the party since last year and has also received over nearly a decade, £400 million in contracts back to him, awarded by the government, that he had said some pretty racist things about Diane Abbott. He said that she should be shot. and that she made you want to hate all black women. So Keir Starmer was speaking to him about that. The issue today, I think that the reason that this story has got new life to it is that this morning, Kevin Hollenrake, who is the post office minister, was on the broadcast round, and he said that he would take that money again. They haven't, yeah. If tomorrow Frank Hester offered him another £10 million, would you take it again? He said, yeah.
At least he's honest, to be fair. At least that's what's like, well, yeah, obviously it would, because we're fucked. Mm. And we need all the help we can get.
And then we had a 10 minutes after that of sort of mudslinging between the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, in which they debated with each other which party was more racist.
Ed, do you think if Keir Starmer was Prime Minister of the Imperium, he would remove spice production from House Hester and give it to House Atreides?
Yeah, anyway. Well, I think it's quite...
Are you trying to manage me to leave? Is this managed decline of the podcast so that I leave?
This is managed incline of the podcast. It's getting dramatically better.
This is a hostile work environment. I think Sunak, by tolerating these comments and not returning the money, is he's saying the quiet part loud and being like, we don't mind if you're racist at the Conservative Party. That's what this shows, which everyone kind of knew. But now we're here.
The worst part of it was when the story broke, and then there was a day yesterday where I suppose Number 10 were deciding whether they were going to call it racist or whether they were going to call it, I don't know, anti-person hate. Similar to the, yeah, thank you.
It's actually pro-gun.
Pro-gun. Well, you know, it's our Second Amendment right to, yes. The worst part about all of that was it took black conservatives to speak out about how they felt hearing the words before Number 10 responded to it. So before any of the other backbenchers or even frontbenchers that said anything remotely constructive about it, constructive being, you shouldn't say that, that's terrible. You had Albie, who is a young conservative. He was one of the first people on Times Radio to say that it was abhorrent and that it was racist. Then you had Kwasi Kwarteng on Politics Live, who said something similar. And then it was Kemi Badenoch who tweeted, explaining that it doesn't matter if you don't like someone's politics, that doesn't correlate to the colour of their skin. And only after all of that, and an excruciating lobby session with a load of journalists in which a Number 10 spokesperson danced around the idea of it being racist, then did Rishi Sunak actually come out with anything. And I think that was about 7 o'clock.
I think it's quite useful and instructive, actually, in a way, because we know that tomorrow the government is going to publish its new definition of extremism, and it would appear to not be beyond the pale to say that Diane Abbott makes you want to hate all black women and that a sitting MP should be shot, the first black woman MP should be shot. It's not extreme to suggest that the Mayor of London is friends with extremists. What in fact the government means when they say extremism is... people attending protests demanding a ceasefire. That's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking
about. It's quite a narrow definition.
Yeah, which is ironic because Miriam Cates thinks the definition is going to be too broad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little PMK's moment as well, wasn't it?
But Miriam Cates is standing up for the people on the far right who would like to express some terror. And look, they're just saying things. They're just saying what we're all thinking.
In defence of people praying outside of
abortion clinics.
Yeah.
Evangelical Christians
praying outside an abortion clinic.
This is another case.
Jesus Christ, get a job, you know?
I think they are retired mostly, to be fair to them. I would never be fair to those people.
To be fair.
To be fair to the maniacs.
Yeah.
But I think they're all very old, so I think they don't have jobs anymore.
Mm. And they don't. Well, they don't even have the capacity then to make that decision whether they want to have a child or not. So what's it got to do with them?
So they've been robbed of it by time, so everyone should be robbed of it.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to read out the full remarks by Frank Hester, so we can kind of try and get to the bottom of why Rishi Sunak doesn't want to return the money. Mm. I suspect the reason he doesn't want to return the money is because it's £10 million.
Because this is a ton of money.
And we're talking, I think, election spending limits of being about £35 million. So, you know, that £10 million it's a lot of money, right? People kind of think when they talk, when we talk about money in politics, you get, because you sort of get, your thinking gets clouded by American super PACs with, you know, $500 million or whatever. 10 million bish goes a long way in British politics. Nonetheless, here is here's what Frank Hester said, and this is in a 2019 meeting at his business headquarters. Honestly, I try not to be sexist, but when I see somebody like, square brackets, the executive, I just, it's like trying not to be racist when you see Diane Abbott on the TV, and you're just like, I hate you. You just want to hate all black women because she's there. And I don't hate all black women at all, but I think she should be shot. The executive and Diane Abbott need to be shot. The Guardian also reported that on a separate occasion in 2019, Hester called everyone who was foreign among his employees to a meeting where he defended himself against online reviews said to be from former staff accusing him of racist remarks. In that meeting, he said, I make a lot of jokes about racism, about our different creeds and cultures, but I just want to assure you that it is just the most abhorrent thing. He added, I want to clear the air and make sure we all know where we are, what we stand for, and we take the piss out of the fact that all of our Chinese girls sit together in Asian corner, which they do. So do you think that Rishi Sunak believes there's enough ambiguity in that statement that he's basically saying, I'm not a racist, but Diane Abbott makes me want to hate all black women? Do you think he's saying, well, he's saying he's not racist, but he's just acknowledging, you know, his feelings about Diane Abbott, so that's enough cover. Like, it's not cut and dry. He's saying, I don't want to think this thing,
yeah,
but I end up thinking, And you go, okay, well, that's actually what he meant. He's expressed himself poorly, so whilst I'm going to come out and say it's racist, I actually don't think it's severe enough for me to return the cash. Or do you think he just wants the 10 million quid so badly that he's prepared to stomach it? 10 million quid,
I think there's no ambiguity. Like, they need, absolutely just need the cash. I've not seen any people really calling, standing by the comments in any way. If you've been condemned by your own party, this is like genuinely detrimental to Rishi Sunak and his government and his party. But you know what's not detrimental? The £10 million that he gave you. Mm. They're facing such an uphill battle anyway. You don't have to. Rishi Sunak wants that money.
Do you remember when?
We just go on that? I think it's not just this £10 million. I think it's then if you have to vet everyone else who's donated to the Conservative Party, and then you're like, okay, so he said this.
And what did you say in a meeting?
Yeah.
You said, oh, we can't say that word anymore.
You said, Steve, Tommy Robinson was your hero.
Yeah. And you used what word? What year was this? 2006. No, we'd stopped using it then.
You've named your son Enoch Powell.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and you've donated in his name? Okay. Signed off. £50 from little Enoch.
Do you remember when Rishi Sunak used to say that Keir Starmer was taking money from eco-zealots because Dale Vince donated to the Labour Party and also to Extinction Rebellion? Mm. It's amusing, isn't it, that it's considered beyond the pale for someone to donate, to be an environmentalist and donate to green causes as well as the Labour Party. But you can just say explicitly, you can incite violence. You can say, I think Diane Abbott needs to be shot. Mm. That's fine.
See, I don't think you were listening when Miriam Cates was speaking.
Sorry, please. Mm. Can you clarify? What have I got wrong there?
It's very specific forms of extremism.
Right.
What she said was, it's certain groups and their extremism that is the problem, all right?
Mm.
And no one else.
What is kind of staggering is this is the threats of violence that MPs go on about all the time. This is a legitimate threat of violence. Like calling for someone to be shot. Clear, it couldn't be more violent than that, to be honest. And again, someone who gets the vast majority of any MP. You know, when MPs get criticised for, I don't know, voting against building houses.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
They're like, well, I've been abused.
Hashtag be kind.
I've been, yes. Yeah. This goes beyond, it shows how ill-equipped that discourse is for the reality, because this is so beyond the pale of those quite weak limitations or those quite weak parameters of what's acceptable, and they don't have the balls to be like, well, what the fuck is that?
Or they get spoken to in public when they didn't have a planned meeting with a constituent, and the constituent's like, I really don't like your opinion on this.
Police! Oh my god, you nearly killed me!
Look, I'm not racist against Scottish people, but sometimes Ed Campbell does make me want to shoot him in the fucking face.
Fuck!
You just jump scared me, bro.
It was so delayed, your jump. I thought it was performative.
No, it wasn't performative.
That was a genuine fright I gave you.
I can't wait for that in playback.
Should we roll a clip of the slow-mo?
Yeah, go.
Roll clip, slow-mo.
No. It's not how it works.
It's already rolling, pal.
It's definitely not.
It's in a split screen right now.
We can put the tune soundtrack over the top of it.
No, I'll tolerate it if that's there. I'll tolerate it.
We'll put it through like a black and white filter.
Yeah.
So you look like a Harkonnen.
Mm.
You can be that worm that everyone's been talking about.
What did you think about the depiction of Gady Prime?
I thought it was sick.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Ava, what did you think about it?
You can do this later on your Dudes Rock podcast, okay?
I'm looking forward to the eventual launch of Dude Rock, which will just be the politics of this cut out.
So me.
It's been a while since we've done a Dudes Rock podcast.
Yeah, it has been at work a lot. Mm. I've been at work.
Does not agree.
If you say so.
We've kind of covered off most of Starmer there, so shall we move on to Afzal Khan talking about extremism?
Can I also just point out that Rishi Sunak missed quite a big today. Bullseye. Mm-hmm. Could have brought up the Max Mosley donations. But then, of course, they would have to say,
when
we found out that Max Mosley was donating, we cut that off.
When was that?
Oh, years ago now.
Like 20 years ago?
No.
Max, I don't remember that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Shut the fridge.
It's the Politics Show cast.
Afzal Khan.
Mr. Speaker, despite serious opposition from the Archbishop of Canterbury, three former Home Secretaries and three government ministers, advisors on anti-Semitism, social cohesion, and on political violence, the levelling up sector is due to widen the definition of extremism tomorrow. Whilst on the benches opposite, members peddle far-right conspiracy theories about Islamists and Muslims taking over Britain. Shouldn't the Prime Minister's priority be getting his own house in order and stepping out extremism, racism and Islamophobia from within his Conservative Party? And will the Prime Minister finally take Islamophobia seriously and agree to that definition?
Ava, so this extremism conversation is building some steam, building up some momentum in the House of Commons, isn't it?
Yes, it's extremism week. Did you
is
know
it?
That?
No, it
is.
Well...
It's actually...
Good to know.
Yeah.
They kicked it off with the Frank Hester stuff, right? Yeah,
okay. They want to radicalise people. You pick an ideology and you go full Unabomber. Is that what they're trying to encourage?
Full Unabomber.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah. I'm more of a partial Unabomber myself.
Have you seen the guy?
Slow Unabomber.
Have you seen the thing with the guy who tried to kill Ronald Reagan?
What about him?
I think his name's John Hinckley.
Yeah.
I don't know, did he go to prison? Or was he just like, I think he was sectioned American sectioned for however long, and he's now not under medical care anymore, and he's trying to pursue a career as a singer-songwriter, and he keeps booking shows, and they keep getting cancelled once they find out he tried to kill Ronald Reagan. And he keeps...
And now he's donating to the Conservative Party.
Most sane Conservative voter. But he also keeps trying to sell pictures of cats he's painted on eBay.
Are they any good?
No, they're not good.
Does that make them good, though?
That they're painted by this guy?
Yeah. No, that they're that terrible. That
no,
they become.
No, just like quite bad paintings.
Ah.
But I think his career as a singer-songwriter is hampered by his... in some ways, should we compare it to something he did years ago? He's not allowed to progress. And in some ways, that's like Frank Hester not being allowed to donate to the Conservative Party.
Yes.
It's cancel culture going mad.
Yes.
You're trying to shoot one president. No, you do shoot him. You do shoot him.
He did shoot him. He shot him.
He doesn't die.
He didn't kill him.
You try and impress...
Reagan too strong.
You try and impress Jodie Foster one time.
Man, you shoot the devil, he gets fucking right back
it's up
again.
That big iron lung that was all around him, wasn't it? That's why it didn't...
He was shoehorning in the iron lung chat.
There's a man who just passed away who was called... Don't laugh. Polio Paul. Because he lived his entire life in an iron lung.
Look, why is it when I talk about a very significant cultural moment in Britain, that's beyond the pale? Why are we talking about Polio Paul's iron lung? What does that have to do with PMQs?
Just to be clear, when I sat down this morning and you sat down and you were talking about June and you were very excited about it, I said, hey, why don't I jump off and you three can talk about June for a little bit? And you said, oh, yeah, that's exactly what the audience want, isn't it? Stupid idea. And then you spat in my eye. And then... and now here we are.
Ed, if you were to be an extremist, what would your ideology be?
Independence for the Kingdom of Strathclyde.
Niche.
Mm.
Okay. Ava?
I'd probably make it legal to flirt your way to the top.
Make it legal? It is. It is legal to do that.
Not when the...
Not with John Hinckley around to shoot you.
Anyway.
Should we do extremism?
Yeah. Should we listen to Miriam Cates?
Just before that, can we also... Excuse me. Can we also just talk about how Diane Abbott was bobbing for a question?
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much the entirety of Prime Minister's questions. And what was bizarre was that Sir Edward Lee... was allowed to answer a question. He was chosen for one. Sorry, chosen to ask a question of Rishi Sunak. And his question was something like, aren't we just the party to be leading into the next election and we're going to win, et cetera, et cetera. But the first black MP who's been the subject of pretty intense media scrutiny over the past couple of days is not granted one.
Yeah. First black female MP.
Female MP, sorry.
Diana, but yeah, well, let's listen to Edward Lee. Let's listen to it. Roll the clip.
As a general election is not just a mere expression of opinion, but a serious choice, will my right honourable friend agree that there is only one potential party of government that has the will, the inclination and the determination to stop mass illegal and legal migration, and that is the Conservative Party? Let's unite our movement and do that!
So I'm glad we heard that contribution. And not whatever Diane had to say in response to what was said about her.
She probably would have said something like...
So probably would have said something that made you want to shoot her, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, Lindsay Hoyle was protecting her from Frank Hester.
No, Diane! You'll only make it worse!
He was in the public gallery.
Why are Frank Hester and John Hinckley in the private gallery of the public gallery? Who gave them firearms?
Are you watching the telly? He's texting her. Are you watching the telly right now? He's like, Diane, sit down.
At Jodie Foster, put on PMQs.
You know what the Frank Hester thing is very similar to? Is what Liam Neeson said.
Oh, when he went, yeah, that was mental.
Oh, coshing black people.
He was like, a woman came to him and said, I've just been raped.
Yep.
And so he immediately... And I like, importantly, he says immediately. So he's like, oh, that's terrible. Turns around, picks up a baseball bat, and then just starts walking around looking for the first black person he can see, and he wants to kill him.
What film was that he was doing press for?
Taken 2.
Taken 2.
Like Derail the Press Tour or something, didn't it? Yeah.
It's Love Actually. To go back,
the director's like, what the fuck? Why are you talking about this, Liam?
Well, we can't edit him out because he's really a main part in this.
But I didn't do it, and that was the Christmas spirit.
I know we did move away from the Diane Abbott thing, but let's go back.
Yeah, please.
Rishi Sunak has shown again that he's fucking useless at this. It's another thing, like with the Brianna Jai, when Brianna Jai's mum was in Parliament and he made that.
Frank Hester was like,
say this. This is good. Said that abhorrent thing about trans women. And the vast majority of people, I don't think he understands how vile he thinks this is. That the majority of people will think this is. The vast, the normal Brit will read that those comments and go, what the fuck? That's appalling. Mm. And he's like, no. Not too bad.
Apart from Lee Anderson, who's
not a normal Briton.
No,
he's not normal.
Lee Anderson is going, you know, this is exactly what the boys are saying down the pub, and he's standing outside that pub in Essex that's got the gollywogs in it.
This has made him rejoin the Conservatives.
Tomorrow, Lee Anderson defects from Reform back to the Tories.
He's like, Richard says, can we one-up this? You say something. Richard, they are stealing our thunder. Yes. You say that about Diane all the time. Come on.
I understand what you're saying, right? That I think you are right. There is a majority of people that will find these remarks vile. There's a significant minority of people who fucking hate Diane Abbott. Like, hate her with a passion. Mm-hmm. You hear them when you're out interviewing people. You see it in the disproportionate level of abuse that she receives compared to other MPs, right? She's a genuine hate figure for a lot of people. A very vocal minority, but nonetheless a substantial minority. It's not an election winner, obviously, because I think most people are decent and are, like you said, appalled by these kind of remarks. But it's also not, I think it's not as much of a fringe position as you saying that kind of implies. I think there is like a chunky group of people who do hate her.
I think they hate her, but I don't think, well, they wouldn't
shoot her.
They wouldn't shoot her. And they also, I think the hate towards Diane Abbott obviously gets amplified because she is a black woman. But I think a lot of those people, it's not as conscious as that, perhaps.
Hate all black women because they hate Diane Abbott.
Yes. I don't know. Can you repeat
that? A normal person doesn't hate all black people because they don't like Diane Abbott.
Yes, they're not aware of like how of the racism involved in their own sentiments. So they're like, oh no, that is appalling. Like I don't like her for these reasons. It's not because she's a black woman. Even if it is. Amplified by that.
Would you like to listen to Miriam Cates or should we move on to Andrea Jenkins? Let's move on to Andrea Jenkins.
Cool,
I think.
We can do.
Well, okay. We sort of touched on it, didn't we? But let's hear what we touched on earlier. But let's hear what Miriam Cates actually said in the questions. Then roll the clip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Radical Islamists pose a serious threat to our nation's security, and I agree with my right honourable friend that we must urgently address this. But reports that the government wishes to broaden the definition of extremism are concerning because in separating the definition of extremism from actual violence and harm, we may criminalise people with a wide range of legitimate views and have a chilling effect on free speech. So can my right honourable friend reassure me that instead of trying to police people's thought and speech, as those opposite clearly wish to do, the government will instead target the specific groups that foster terrorism and those who fund them? Yeah.
Ava, Miriam's worried that the government's new definition of extremism might include people who hold her political beliefs. Mm. We also saw, was it last week, when it came out that some of the political ideologies for Prevent on the watch list were socialism and anti-fascism as well. So there is some legitimate concern, right, I think she's coming at this from an interesting angle, but I actually kind of sit on the same side of the fence as her, which is, When Rishi Sunak's talking about extremism, he's not talking about people like Frank Hester saying that MPs should be shot. His definition is disingenuous. They're trying to find a way to stigmatise the hundreds of thousands of people that are marching calling for peaceful protest. That is a legitimate political position to hold. It's not an extreme political position to hold. So actually, the criticism of this new definition that basically it's going to possibly be so broad that it will include actually legitimate political positions is one I agree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is that so what we'll probably hear tomorrow is a lot of the couple of phrases that have been drip fed to us over the past couple of weeks, like blasphemy by the back door, and that Islamophobia is not... Apparently, Islamophobia, which we all colloquially understand to mean Muslim hatred, actually doesn't mean that at all. And it's weird because apparently even Lee Anderson knew that, that apparently you can't discriminate against a religion or whatever his crass reasoning is for it.
Islam's not a race, that's what
it is. Islam's not a race, right. Okay. Like, shut the fuck up, you know what I mean? Anyway, not you.
I will do if you want me to.
It. So yeah, tomorrow you're going to hear Blasphemy by the Back Door from the last 3 years. You know the report that came out that was about the last 3 years?
Can you explain?
So in this report, it was that there was an instance of the Prophet Muhammad was shown in a school in Birmingham, and then there were protests for weeks, and the teacher was hounded out of the classroom. That, to them, is Blasphemy by the Back Door, and they're going to use that as a reason to alter all of the extremism legislation that we have in the country. So just a couple of quite out there anomalies, that's now going to redefine the entire way that we approach quote-unquote blasphemy. And then just recoining anti-Muslim hate. It's so pedantic. It doesn't matter.
I don't think it's pedantic. I think it's deliberate. As in, I think it's still calculated. If you describe something as anti-Muslim hate, it makes it sound lesser than it is.
Sorry, that's what I mean. I mean, like, it's so pedantic, the change. Mm-hmm. Like, it means the same thing. But yeah, you're right. It waters it down.
It makes it sound like you aren't, like, there isn't a bigotry element to it. It makes it be like you actually have, like, a, you know, theological disagreement with Islam, which is not the case for someone who hates Muslims. They don't have a different interpretation of the, you know, of Abraham or something. It's not that.
That example that happened in that school, that teacher who was hounded basically out of her town because of showing the picture of Prophet Muhammad, is such a totally mental thing to have happened. Surely there is legislation that is already in place that would have prosecuted the people that did that to her. You can't suddenly just start sending people death threats or anything like, you know, something like that. Surely that's just a failure of the local police to act correctly, or local legislators, rather than actually there being a lax approach to a teacher being, you know, threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're already not allowed to do that.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's the Politics Show cast.
I understand the latest scheme that's been considered is to pay migrants thousands of pounds to leave Britain. Prime Minister, let's just leave the ECHR and deport them for free. So far, over 40,000 Brits have signed my petition with the Conservative Post calling for us to leave the European Convention on Human Rights. Will the Prime Minister commit to leaving the ECHR, or at the very least, have it in our manifesto to have a referendum and let Britain decide?
Ed, you were distinctly unimpressed by Andrea Jenkins getting 40,000 Brits to sign her petition.
Yeah, because she's making that sound like 40,000 Brits. That's like, is that a percentage? That's not even a percentage point of the UK population. Like, what, a whole one?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's 40%. It's 40% of what you need to get your petition debated in the House of Commons.
Yes, it is that, but that's also not a percentage point. Like, she's trying to be like 40,000 of my like-minded Brits, the most mental people you can possibly imagine. We've all clubbed together. We've taken over the asylum and we're doing our referendum. And then, like, it doesn't make it just because you've arrange 40,000 people to do something from probably quite disparate parts of the country, not our constituents, 40,000 people in the UK who are all part of these forums or clubs or the Conservative Post or the Conservative Party, maybe.
Mm. Probably Conservative Home. It's probably come through that website, isn't it?
It's Conservative Post. Ah. So not Conservative Home.
Oh, it actually has legitimately come through, like an organisation.
My petition with the Conservative Post to leave the ECHR.
Amazing.
So I think, yeah, you said to me, how many people could you get to sign a petition?
Yeah.
But I don't think that inherently makes this valid or good or worthy of debate.
But you forget, Edward, that even though she is a sitting Conservative MP and she could actually just walk over and speak to the Prime Minister, she actually needs to speak to people who were not in the House of Commons. People in the House of Commons don't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah, they don't live in the real world.
They don't live in the real world.
But these people hanging out with the Conservative Post, they're real.
They are real.
They're real.
And they know the dangers of the ECHR. Mm-hmm. For example, if we leave it, we don't have to have that Good Friday agreement anymore.
We've all said it. The Provos have gotten too big for those boots. Everyone's been saying that for years.
And you know what? I thought we were a bit too harsh on China and the Uyghurs. You know, sometimes there can be a misunderstanding.
Look, saying nothing about the validity of her cause, and I do think when people say they want to leave the ECHR, we really should ask of them which of the rights which the ECHR is part of protecting they have a problem with. Is it the right to be free from torture? Is it the right to be free from murder? Is it the freedom? Is it freedom of speech? You know, which ones do you have a problem with? But 40,000 people is enough to win an election in this country. Do you know what I mean? That's half a constituency. Like the argument that it's a small amount of people is a significant number of people.
Yeah, but they're not all in the constituency. It's not. This is the one thing these people have. This could be the one thing these people have in common. Like they're not all. She's not won an election in her constituency based on that. In this country, you have a mandate based on elections. You don't have it based on petitions. So it's not like she's like.
You get a debate off of a petition.
You get a debate, but
she could also file a private member's bill. But yes, God forbid she does that, because then she would have to do it off her own back.
She'd have to do her fucking job.
Yeah, she just wants to do her. She wants to get her little petitions debate. She wants to turn up to Westminster Hall. She wants to say things like the EU are still ruling us, and then like someone has to calmly explain. The EU's got nothing to do with the ECHR. And then she's like, you're one of them!
Was it Andrea Jenkins who was shouting at the public when Boris Johnson was
It was, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
It was the middle finger.
We were there. Eva and I were right beside her for that.
We were there, weren't we?
And we did nothing.
We were going...
We said...
So we were goading her on.
Slay, Andrea!
She's a girl boss.
Yeah.
This is feminist, isn't it, Andrea?
This is feminist.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, you're amazing, Andrea. That's a great idea. Have you heard about the ECHR, Andrea?
This is the most feminist thing to happen since Barbie.
I actually think that movie was her idea.
Barbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it must be, because it's really targeted towards white, rich feminists. So, you know, conservative voters... Barbie lovers, Andrea Jenkins.
I think
Liam Neeson.
I think this country's gotten too referendum happy. We can't just have referendums all the time. We're not Switzerland. Yeah, that's a different country, mate.
Yeah.
You're going about that all the time.
Really tough day for Jedward yesterday.
What's that?
I think we need to have a referendum on Louis Walsh.
What?
Can I actually just explain this briefly?
Is that not just like the voting in Celebrity Big Brother? That's
Louis,
a referendum.
Louis Walsh on Big Brother last night called Jedward vile. Jedward were watching at home, well, not from their home, from Gemma Collins' house, where they were eating a roast dinner and dancing in her hot tub. And then they just went wild. And they were just throwing accusation after accusation levied at Louis Walsh about how terrible of a person he was. I brought it up because Jedward were like having obviously a really terrible evening, but then like the worst part of it was that people kept calling them British. That's it.
Is that of more cultural significance than June 2, do you think?
No.
Yeah, that's...
Not even close.
Nine.
What would you have a referendum on if you got to choose?
Whether you should be able to go and watch June or not.
That seems really mean. Please? My party political broadcast. I'd really like to.
What was your favourite bit about June?
The Harkonnen's home planet. That was sick. Austin Butler was unbelievable.
Really. Yeah, real psychopath.
Yeah, really good.
Convincing. Yeah.
He said, because he lived as Elvis for 3 years, which is an insane thing to do, and don't really think you should be commended for that, because that's fully mental.
But that was funny, because Jacob Elordi didn't do any prep for it at all.
Oh, and Priscilla.
And then just nailed it.
That's so funny.
Anyway, carry on.
But Austin Butler said in an interview, he was like, yeah, I couldn't do that for this character. Like, yeah, he kills for fun. He's like, that wouldn't be fair in my family. He's like, well, yeah, obviously. Ah, my new knife.
Him and Frank Hester just sitting in a basement somewhere. So yeah. Mate, take me towards your line of thinking. Why do we want to kill this person?
Oh.
Him offering his real mother like human lungs. Are you hungry, mother? No. Yeah, that was good. I like the Islam analogy.
That's all you talk about when we talk about gin.
Yeah. I thought it was really clever how spice is like an allegory for oil. I think that's really like clever and deep. I think no one would have thought about that. Have you thought about how Arrakis and Iraq sound quite similar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mind blowing stuff.
That's mental.
Yeah.
It was written in the '60s.
Wow.
I don't know how pertinent that is.
It was written in the '60s, June.
The book was, yeah.
What there about was the a fact? Book.
Yeah. Mm. The tons.
There's been a film before. Had Sting in it.
It looked awful. Sting and Kyle MacLachlan.
Who?
He's in Twin Peaks and Desperate Housewives, I think.
Okay. Well, that's life-changing information for me, isn't it?
We just heard your Jedward
show
shit.
The clip of Jedward.
Should we talk about Edward Lee again?
Ah, we've said him already.
Would Edward Lee survive in June?
No.
He doesn't have the political cunning or the backing of one of the great houses.
Do you think a petition would pass in June?
No, it seems to be some sort of autocracy.
There's very little democracy, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because they're free from the ECHR?
Yes.
that they're allowed to have. I don't think they have human rights in June.
There's a lot of slavery.
Yeah, a lot.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fairly sure the ECHR prevents you from keeping cannibalistic concubines. I think that's a...
And the Fremen seem to be under some sort of subjugation,
hmm.
Which isn't good as well. I'm against that personally. I'm against subjugation.
Fucking woke Ed Campbell strikes again.
You enjoyed a big sausage yesterday, didn't you? A
big sausage?
It's totally normal behaviour, that, I've been told.
I had a hot dog.
I think that's okay. Eating a hot dog
alone in a cinema. Yeah, totally normal.
What's the last thing you did alone?
Ed.
Travelled to Cambridge.
Oh, alone? Like a normal person?
Yeah.
Fucking creep. Seems to do that to things.
Catching a train alone is a normal thing to do.
No, it's not. It's for paedophiles, actually.
He's got you there.
Yeah, see? You can just do that.
He's got you banged to rights there.
Everyone who's alone on a train...
Pedophile.
Nonce.
You stayed in the hotel that night as well, didn't you?
Sure, absolutely did, yeah.
By yourself?
Yeah, at Cambridge, yeah.
By yourself.
Because what was funny about this is that earlier you said that people who go to the cinema alone are people who don't have anyone to go with them, right? They don't have any friends.
Yeah.
But you went to Cambridge by yourself and then slept in a hotel room by yourself.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, when the Cambridge Union invite you to debate, you can't be like, oh, my minder is here also.
I took my boyfriend. That was a fucking nightmare, though. I should not have taken him.
You can't. That's just gonna have to be taken out, isn't it? I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, clear taking out. I think it's sick that you got to hang out with those students. That's really cool.
The audience aren't idiots. The audience aren't idiots.
They know it was an honour.
Stop. Last podcast episode, you earnestly said that not only is Robbie Williams at Nebworth the best musical performance at Nebworth, you said it's the best concert ever performed live.
I don't think I did say that.
Led Zeppelin have played at Nebworth.
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Okay, don't stand by that then.
You just said that.
It was Robbie Williams.
You also went to a cinema.
Oh, he's so rattled. I don't think we've seen genuine rage from Robbie.
Is this before. How you debated at the Cambridge Union?
Yeah. Well, I fucking won that debate and I'm about to win this one. I am not about to take lectures from you about what is and isn't cool, my man.
I don't think being a paedophile is cool.
It's got you there.
I tell you what.
You're on the ropes.
Is that your referendum?
It's no wonder they've invited you and me to debate there and not him with lines like that, isn't it?
Because I'm not a paedophile.
I'm not... got you again, I'm afraid. You keep throwing him and he keeps knocking him back. Yeah.
I quite like, there's quite like a sibling energy when neither of you have two siblings, do you?
I have one.
When like, when someone's, there's constantly shifting alliances between me and my brother and my sister. If someone's down, you're like, oh yeah, fucking. Then they turn on you and it's the worst. But then you, as soon as the chance arises, you ally right back with someone else. I think that's what's going on here. It's quite nice.
You think you're going to circle back round to being an ally of mine, Ed Campbell?
No, but if
chance... You've just called me a nonce repeatedly for 20 minutes. Where do you think the way back in is coming?
If Ava showed a glimpse of vulnerability now...
Vulnerability or honourability?
Vulnerability. Vulnerability.
I would just like everyone to very slowly and calmly... walk back from their recent remarks. Let's all take a deep breath. HR don't listen to the podcast. They don't need to know about what you just said, Ed.
Weird thing to ask of your sister. I'm calling Dad. Alistair?
I don't think Ollie's beat it well.
Thanks, Ed.
You're welcome. I brought it back. Do you have anything else to add about
No.
being cute?
No. No, we don't.
Have you got anything else to...
You both done?
Yeah, you.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm done.
It was a nice record, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, nice and tight record, that, yep. Thanks for listening to the Politics Joe podcast. We'll see you on the next one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.